Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us here at Sun Sounds for the Tuesday, February 18th edition of the East Valley News. I am J.W. Nicholas, your reader for the next half hour, and we'll be looking at some news from the past week in Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. So we'll get started with our first story from the Santan Sun News by Ken Sain, Arizonan Managing Editor. Chandler seeks high court help in water feud. The city of Chandler is asking the Arizona Supreme Court to weigh in on its dispute with the Roosevelt Water Conservation District, RWCD. The city claims that RWCD is refusing to abide by a 2002 agreement between the two sides. The water district claims it terminated the agreement in 2018 after a period of significant inactivity. Chandler residents pay $1.7 million in property taxes annually to the Roosevelt Water Conservation District, while the district is failing to honor its agreement to provide Chandler with water for domestic uses, the city said in a news release. The founder of the city, Dr. A.J. Chandler, helped form what has become RWCD more than 100 years ago. Its purpose was to help farmers irrigate about 40,000 acres of land in Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, and some parts of Maricopa County. Originally, those farms relied on groundwater. However, over the decades, RWCD has converted to surface water coming from the Salt and Verde Rivers. RWCD is entitled to 5.6% of the water from those two rivers. Under the agreement, Chandler is entitled to 29% of that, Mayor Kevin Hartke said. So it doesn't make sense because they can't sell it to anybody else, Hartke said. They won't sell it to us. We said, if you don't like the price of the water you're selling, great, we'll negotiate on that. A call to RWCD seeking comment was not returned. Their only response was in the response to Chandler's filing for the Arizona Supreme Court to hear an appeal. Chandler initially won a lawsuit that RWCD was violating the agreement. However, the Court of Appeals overturned that ruling, saying that Chandler did not file the lawsuit quickly enough. So Chandler is appealing that decision to the Supreme Court. Instead of using the agreement's transparent and objective formula, RWCD wants Chandler to sign a new agreement, giving the district unrestricted discretion to determine how much water to offer each year, the news release said. That's not in the best interest of Chandler taxpayers, who deserve a return on their property taxes. Hartke said he thinks RWCD took a gamble and it didn't pay off. They were gambling on having capacity, particularly after the advance in increased storage and such a super wet water year, the wettest it had been in a long time, he said. Last year, Salt River Project released millions of gallons of water from its reservoirs because its lakes were filling up. Instead of selling some of that water to Chandler, the city claims RWCD let it flow down the river. From RWCD's response to the Supreme Court filing, following significant inactivity, this dispute arose. Beginning in April 2018, RWCD notified Chandler that it believed the agreement had effectively ended many years ago and that it was terminating the agreement with 30 days' notice. When Chandler tried to purchase water in 2020 and 2022, the water district sent letters notifying them that the agreement had been terminated. Despite RWCD saying the agreement has been canceled, Chandler has continued to pay about $8 million over the past 6 years without getting a drop of water in return. We have no idea what their long-term plan was or is because they can only sell it to a few entities. So it never has made sense to us, Hartke said. In our next article, also from the Santan Sun News, and also by Ken Sain, managing editor, Chandler DEI officer unperturbed by attacks. The Trump administration has put a target on the backs of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs across the nation. Nikki Tapia, the city of Chandler DEI officer, says so far there is little controversy about her office from local residents. I'm very lucky that I get to focus on DEI as it relates to the Chandler community, and so that is where I really stick to my focus, Tapia said. Tapia said she rarely hears criticism and instead hears praise for her office's efforts to include more people, even at events like the fire department's annual smoke detector check. Chandler's DEI strategic plan is the only one of its kind in Arizona, Tapia said. It won a national award from the International City County Management Association, ICMA. That was a huge, huge coup for us, Tapia said. We're starting to establish baselines. We're starting to work within all communities, our nonprofits, our places of worship, the cultural communities. There are 4 employees in DEI department. It receives no federal funds, Tapia said. Here are some of the success stories she points to in the past year. City of Chandler began purchasing instant language assistant translation devices to place in city offices and to take into the field when needed. These devices are able to translate more than 200 languages to help citizens communicate with their government in whichever language they choose. Helped the city partner with nonprofits and Chandler Unified School District to create the Hive at San Marcos Elementary School. It's a resource center that helps connect people of all ages to online technology. It opened November 1st, 2024, and had 500 visitors in its first 2 months. The City of Chandler and For Our City entered a partnership to reintroduce the Chandler Nonprofit Coalition, helping bring together the nonprofit community for support and networking. The DEI Internal Speaker Series held 13 classes that drew nearly 400 employees over the year. Some of the most popular classes included Sierra Place speaking about dealing with hearing loss and Andres Chavez talking about the enduring legacy of his grandfather, Cesar Chavez. DEI stages a number of community events throughout the year, including Chandler Contigo, Juneteenth Culture Music in the Park, Diwali, Asian American Community Connection, the Multicultural Festival, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Awards, the Regional Unity Walk, and a Breakthrough Mental Heal Conference. Nearly 20,000 people attended the 43 programs and events that DEI staged in 2024. Awarded diversity education mini grants of up to $1,000. In 2024, they were able to fund 27 grants that reached close to 9,500 students. Some of the beneficiaries include the Chinese Language Teachers Association, a STEAM, Science, Tech, Engineering, Arts, and Math, Carnival for All at Arizona College Prep High School, and the Fall Festival at San Marcos Elementary School. Started an event pilot sponsorship program helping new initiatives get started that emphasize DEI. In 2024, 3 programs received $2,500 each: South Chandler Self-Help Teenage, Archwood Exchange by Black Market, and Arizona Korean Association Korean Festival. Tapia said she checks the news daily to see what is happening on the federal level with DEI programs, but for now, she's not worried about her office's future in Chandler. Some of the challenges that we've had is just people understanding what DEI really is, she said. We have control here in Chandler, and we're going to keep moving forward. And next we move over to the Sun Lake Splash with an article by Dr. Harold Wong. Dollars and cents, 2 advanced IRA strategies that are rarely used. For many, most of their liquid assets are inside their traditional IRA or 401k. However, this is a mistake because you are creating a ticking tax time bomb. Example, an engineer, age 35, contributes $10,000 a year to his IRA and or 401k each year. He's in a 25% tax bracket and saves $2,500 of tax. After 30 years, he's contributed $300,000 total and has saved $75,000 of tax. At age 65, the stock market has done well, and he now has $1 million. He doesn't need the money until age 75, when it has doubled to $2 million. When both parents pass away, the $2 million is distributed to their 2 kids, and each has $1 million taxable income. in addition to their normal taxable income. If the combined federal and state tax rate is 40%, the kids pay $800,000 versus the $75,000 that their dad saved. It's always a losing game if the family eventually pays 10 times the tax that was saved over the decades of contributions. Here are two advanced IRA strategies that are rarely used. Roth IRA conversion. If you convert that $1 million at age 65 in the previous example to a Roth IRA, there is no income tax no matter how high it grows. There is also no required minimum distribution. In the last 15 years of giving tax and retirement income seminars, I find that only 2% have more than $30,000 in a Roth IRA. The reason is that they can't stand the pain of paying tax on $1 million taxable income created by a normal Roth IRA conversion. However, I had a client in 2023 who was able to distribute over $1 million from his traditional IRA and not have to pay any income tax. He used massive solar energy credits and deductions from the August 16, 2022 Inflation Reduction Act to eliminate his income tax. True self-directed IRA. Many Wall Street firms claim that you can have a self-directed IRA, but only means that you can pick from thousands of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds and other Wall Street products. A true self-directed IRA allows you to buy non-Wall Street assets, such as real estate and stock in private companies. In 2024, I found two investments where the upside in 5 to 10 years can be as much as a 100 times return. So I bought private stock in these two companies through my Roth self-directed IRA so that there will be no income tax on the profits. Attend my free live seminars Tuesday, February 18th or Thursday, February 20th, starting at 6 p.m. at Hyatt Place, 3535 West Chandler Boulevard in Chandler, Arizona, 85226. The seminars are followed by a free catered meal. The topic is Advanced Tax Strategies, Secrets of Roth and Multi-Generational IRAs. To RSVP for the seminars or to schedule a free consultation, please contact Dr. Harold Wong at 480-706-0177, or you can write him at harold.wong@hotmail.com. His website is www.drharoldwong.com. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your reader, J.W. Nicholas, and we're looking at news of the past week from Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. As a quick reminder, if you missed any part of this program or others you may enjoy on Sun Sounds, you can access all of them anytime on demand on our website at www.sunsounds.org. Find it under Broadcast Info and Audio. And now we move along to our next article from the Gilbert Sun News, this by Aparna Sekhar, GSN staff writer. Gilbert panel rejects ugly cell tower. A proposed 64-foot cell tower near an elementary school and a daycare facility for the disabled faced stiff opposition from Gilbert residents last week and ultimately was rejected by the Town Planning Commission because it was ugly. Wireless infrastructure company Vertical Bridge had sought a conditional use permit for the tower on the southeast corner of Houston Avenue and Wrecker Road, sparking protests from 8 citizens opposing the plan. The tower itself was proposed for a parcel of land in the Town Meadows area, said Abby Aller, the town planner. The current use of the larger parcel is Guthrie Mainstream Services, which is a daycare facility for individuals with developmental disabilities, she said. Under the town's land development code, the 64-foot tower is classified as Category 3, which means it has a significant visual impact on the surrounding property, Aller noted. The proposed facility will include one 64-foot monopole and associated ground-mounted equipment, which will be located inside a 3,150-square-foot walled enclosure that is 8 feet in height, she said. Aller said the whole structure is about 100 feet from the closest residential development north and 300 feet from the east, and just about 196 feet from the Town Meadows Elementary School. According to Aller, the tower would be unmanned but accessed through Houston Avenue for periodic maintenance checks. The monopole will also be fitted with circular metal shields to hide mounted equipment like antennas. Aller said that vertical bridge has complied with all town standards required to put up the tower and that it would not be detrimental to anyone's health. She also said it was in alignment with Gilbert's general plan and zoning regulations and does not hinder the use of nearby properties. Based on those findings, town staff recommended the proposal's approval to the panel. Yet, Aller pointed out that the town has received 14 comments from citizens opposing the cell tower, primarily due to health concerns and its impact on property values of nearby homes. Panel Vice Chair William Fay questioned if the circular design meets the town's aesthetic code. Aller said that it does, and is similar to another conditional use permit tower recently approved. Tiffany Paschel, a representative of Vertical Bridge, said that there are many benefits to the surrounding community due to installation of the cell tower, including enhanced broadband, enhanced public safety due to better connectivity to emergency services, expanded wireless coverage. She also noted that additional carriers can be added to the tower as well. "I know that there are some questions as to the design of the tower," she said. "We worked with staff on trying to determine which design would work best for this area. Initially, a stealth design of a monopalm or a monopine was discussed, but it was eventually determined that would not be a good fit for the area." The tower operates at low levels of radio frequency at about 0.1% of the Federal Communications Commission's limit, Paschel said, citing studies from American Cancer Society, World Health Organization, and the National Cancer Institute that found no health impacts from radio waves. The tower also does not fall in a cell connectivity triangulation gap, but it will help to take the load off of some other sites in the vicinity, as per Paschel. Chairman Noah Munt made it clear that the panel itself does not have any purview over the health aspects and would stick to commenting on the cell tower use, design, and location only. Rebecca Wilson, one of the citizens opposing it, said her main concern was the tower's awful design. "We already have four towers in our area that are accessible because I've measured, and I believe that the presentation by the vendor was disingenuous as far as reducing the need for future towers," said citizen James Fowler. Realtor Aaron Chapman, who lives across the street from the site, said that such towers reduce the property values in the area, bringing fewer buyers eventually. Resident Carlise Bracken was concerned that the tower's radio frequency so close to the daycare facility will harm the people coming to the facility and would harm the kids at the elementary school nearby. "I share an opinion as well as a voice from the community through people reaching out directly as well as utilizing social media forums directly connected to our neighborhood. It is clear that we oppose the 60-foot tower that will change the dynamics of our neighborhood visually as well as intrusively," said Shelley Crawford on behalf of her husband, Ty. Most of the panel leaned towards denying the proposal, with Commissioner Lisa Gage stating that artistically it was ugly and she wouldn't want it in her neighborhood. The panel unanimously voted against it, citing poor design. In our next article, also from the Gilbert Sun News, and also by Aparna Sekar, GSN staff writer, Gilbert sewer rate to rise by 95% in April. Gilbert residential water customers will soon see a 95% increase in their monthly sewer bill after the town council on Tuesday approved the proposed increase instead of strapping taxpayers with a big bond interest debt. The council voted 6-1 to go with the so-called all-cash option that calls for a $29.56 hike in their monthly wastewater bill, with Councilman Jim Torgerson voting against. The increase will go into effect in April, Commercial ratepayers will also see an increase in their rates. The vote followed a recommendation last October by the Public Works Advisory Board that favored the all-cash option. The other option was a phased bond cash mix that would have increased rates by $8.73 this year and $5.52 next year, but would have included a $110 million bond with interest totaling another $72 million. The hike was determined necessary by the Public Works Department's biannual studies of the different rates customers pay for water, garbage, wastewater, and environmental compliance services. Water and garbage rates in Gilbert saw an increase in April last year after this review. When evaluating the wastewater and environmental compliance rates late last year, Public Works officials made it clear that Gilbert does not have enough money to sustain its wastewater operations and pay for repairs and expansion projects for the next 5 years. Without the rate hikes, Gilbert Public Works projected a yearly $38 million operating fund shortfall and a $68 million repair shortage starting this year. Environmental compliance rates, a flat fee that covers town costs of maintaining stormwater runoffs and air quality checks, will not be raised. The previous council and new council elects discussed the issue during a council retreat in November last year, with many members unhappy that they would have to introduce yet another rate hike to the public. First of all, the feeling is like, here's your choice, Chuck. You can get shot in the head or shot in the heart, said Councilman Chuck Bongiovanni at the retreat. The council had another discussion about the rate options December 3rd and narrowed down the original four alternatives to the final two options. Even then, members of the council urged the town to come up with an extensive public information campaign to educate and hear the town's citizens' worries about the rate increases. The general public does not have a large appetite for this, and just telling them won't be enough. There has to be a buy-off, and there has to be an understanding if it's to happen, Councilman Jim Torgerson said. Since this meeting, the town has conducted two open house sessions, one virtual and one in person, to educate and hear from the community about the hikes, in addition to mailers and social media. Eric Braun, the town's Public Works Assistant Director, has been presenting on the different rate increase options, as well as the need for Gilbert to invest in its wastewater infrastructure. The town's $1 billion wastewater assets include 22,000 manholes, 912 miles of gravity sewers, 16 lift stations, and 30 miles of force main pipes and two wastewater treatment plants. A town inspection of sewer pipes installed in 2005 showed many vital points in the pipes had corroded and needed advanced repairs, Braun said. But this infrastructure deterioration is not a Gilbert-only problem, said Braun. A 2022 EPA report noted that there is a $630 billion nationwide gap in infrastructure, with Arizona only accounting for $4.7 billion. Coupled with inflation in construction and maintenance costs, this means Gilbert will need more money in its wastewater fund to sustain its system operations and repairs. In the next 5 years, the town will need to fund manhole rehab projects, odor control work, and replace force main pumps to avoid breakdowns, Braun said. The town's two treatment plants, Greenfield and Neely, also require funds for repairs and maintenance. The Greenfield plant is co-owned by Mesa and Queen Creek, and Gilbert's share to operate it is already projected to overshoot by $3.5 million in the next 5 years, as per Braun. The treatment plants feed Gilbert's four water recharge facilities, the biggest being Riparian Preserve. The preserve's recharge pipeline was originally designed to push out 4 million gallons per day, with a maximum capacity of 8 million gallons per day. This system is already stretched to 6 million gallons per day currently and will also need to be upgraded to carry the additional load, Braun said. All this work has been charted for the next 5 years by Gilbert's Public Works Department in 22 projects with a projected cost of $230 million. Many of these projects, slated for 2024-25 fiscal year, already were pushed back because of a funding shortage. Once an option is chosen, the new rates will be reflected in Gilbert customers' utility bills starting in April this year. The town's single-family and multifamily residential customers will see a revised monthly base fee of $62.01, with the cash option of $41.48 through the phased cash bond option from a previous base fee of $32.75. Gilbert's non-residential customers that use the sewage system currently have a base fee of $21.90. They also pay a volume charge that's based on the amount of sewage they discharge into the system. These facilities will see a base fee of $45.20 from April onwards, with a volume charge of $22 with the cash option. The phased cash bond option will increase the base fee to $29.97 and volume charge to $15.10 monthly for the facilities. The town also has more information at general.gilbertaz.gov/BillCale, BILLCALE. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Chandler and Gilbert and Sun Lakes. Once again, another quick reminder, if you missed any part of this program or others you may enjoy here on Sun Sounds, you can access all of them anytime on demand on our website at www.sunsounds.org and find them under broadcast info and audio. And also, be aware that you can always find us on any of your connected devices streaming via our Sun Sounds of Arizona mobile app, available for Apple and Android phones and tablets. Once again, I'm your volunteer reader, J.W. Nicholas. Please stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.